have your Bible, it would be Psalms 85, and just so you know which psalm or hymn we're going to discuss, it'll be hymn 205 in your Psalms. Let's begin by reading the Word of God. Psalms 85, verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. And then there's arguments among theologians over the word Selah or Selah, whether it is to be said or read or not, but musical note or whatever it is, nonetheless. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Obviously, we take our title and our text from verse number 6, where the psalmist asks, will thou not revive us again, that we may rejoice in thee? And it is arguably, this is what the songwriter had in mind when he wrote these words, revive us again. Now, let me begin by saying this. I don't believe in chance, fate, luck, or karma, rather in God's sovereign providence and rule over all things. Furthermore, it is a mark of immaturity, spiritual immaturity, to believe that every little thing that happens to us is some sign from God. I have had people tell me things down over through the years, and I just scratch my head thinking. It's like the lady who said she had been praying about whether or not she ought to marry this man who had proposed to her, and while out walking in the park one day, she found a lost wedding ring. She said, see, God was speaking to me. There was my answer. Well, that's a little bit subjective if you ask me. It may just simply be someone was careless or lost her wedding band, and that may not be the voice of God or the will of God at all. Having said that, it doesn't mean that we should not listen for the still small voice of God. We shouldn't pray about His direction in our lives. And acknowledge that God does indeed order our steps. And in His sovereign purposes, He sometimes does extraordinary things to bring us to Him. And the story of William Mackey is such a story. He is the author of this psalm that I have made mention of. The story of his conversion is one of those stories that seems so far-fetched it's almost hard to believe. Yet it is his testimony that these events are true and they were instrumental in his conversion. Now, while I think that God ordinarily works ordinarily, sometimes God works extraordinarily. Sometimes He does the extraordinary. And I want to share with you the conversion story of William Mackey as he shared it. All right, I want to share that with you as he shared it. And this is pulled from several resources, but he was raised in a God-fearing home. He was one of those men who had a praying mama. Thank God for praying mamas. He had a praying mother who he, in his own admission, said that I had often witnessed her wrestling with God in prayer for my soul. That was his own testimony. And he said, but it never really made a deep impression on him. In fact, at 17, he left home. William Mackey left home and went to the University of Edinburgh. He's Scottish and raised in a Scottish home, and went to the University of Edinburgh and became a doctor. In his years of college, all of that upbringing, you know, seemingly escaped him. He gave his life over to lewdness, to drinking, to living a wicked life. This is his own admission. And in fact, he became an atheist during his time at college. After graduating from the University of Edinburgh, after graduating, he took a job as a doctor at a hospital. And here's what he said happened. He said he was working a shift, and a gentleman came in who had been badly injured, and that there was just nothing that they could do for him. The gentleman seemingly realized his condition and was, you know, fully conscious, but was aware that he just wasn't going to live long. So he asked, you know, the nurses and the staff, they said, "Do you have family? Anyone that we can contact to you?" The gentleman was dying. He said, "No." He said, "There's only two things I ask. One, I want you to contact my landlady. She's my closest and dearest friend. Ask her to come. And then two, ask her when she comes to bring the book with her." And so she did. The landlady came, gave him the book. Whether it was hours or days, I'm not sure. I read, but in a short time period, the gentleman ended up dying. The patient ended up dying, but William Mackey, the doctor who was attending him, just couldn't get over the fact that even though this man was facing death, he found a sense of joy and had a peace about him. And anyway, after his death, after this gentleman, after he died, William Mackey went back to the room, and he wanted to know what was this book that had offered him, the man, so much comfort in his death. One of the nurses reached under the pillow and pulled it out, and it was a Bible. But it wasn't just any Bible. When Dr. Mackey, the author of this song, when he opened up the Bible, he saw his name written there in it. And he saw a Bible verse that his mother had written. It turns out when he left home at the age of 17, his mother put a Bible in his hand. A few years later, he pawned that Bible in order to get some money to buy booze. And through a turn of events, through God's working through his sovereign purposes, this gentleman had obtained that copy of the Bible, and it was his own Bible that he had pawned off that had been brought to this dying gentleman. William Mackey said, "I just could not deny that God was real. Just could not deny that this was the providential hand of God at work." And let me just read to you his own words. He said, "I took the Bible and could I trust my eyes? It was my own Bible, the Bible which my mother had given me when I left my parents' home, and which later, when short of money, I sold for a small amount. My name was still in it, written in my mother's hand. With a deep sense of shame, I looked upon this precious book. It had given comfort and refreshment to the unfortunate man in his last hours. It had been a guide to him into eternal life, so that he had been enabled to die in peace and happiness. In this book, the last gift of my mother that I had sold for a ridiculous price." That night, Mackey took that Bible, went into his office, and poured out his heart before God. He confessed his sin and was converted to Christianity. He read that verse that his mother had written, John 3:16, in the leaf of the Bible. Shortly thereafter, he resigned from the hospital and became a pastor of a Presbyterian church, became a well-respected author and songwriter. And it is somewhat amazing to me that this song that we have in front of us, hymn 205 in your book, is a result of the conversion of this man in God, who normally works normally, sometimes does the abnormal, and put the Bible back into his hands that his mother had given him. Now this song, and there's a little history of the songwriter. If we take a look at the song, this is one I grew up singing, probably many of you grew up singing. The hymn itself is a mixture of praise and petition. It is intended to glorify the work of God while also confessing our constant need of God, our need for reviving. If you'll take careful attention to verse 1, the songwriter says, "We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Son." So he praises the Father for the Son. And he praises the Father for the work of the Son in His death and resurrection. That's verse 1. For Jesus who died and is now resurrected and ascended to the Father. In verse 2, he praises the Father for the Spirit who works in us to bring us to Christ. But not only to bring us to Christ, but to comfort us in our brokenness. Verse 2, we praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of life who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. That is the work of the Spirit that brings us to Christ and comforts us in the dark night hours. In verse 3, the writer declares, "All glory and praise belong to the Lamb that was slain, who paid our sin debt, who washes us whiter than snow in His own blood. He has cleansed every stain. What can wash away my sin?" Another writer said, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And then the fourth verse that we have is a request. It is a prayer. It is purely a petition. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. This fourth stanza, fourth verse, is a request. It is a petition that our love of God, and listen, our love of serving God. Now let's just get plain about it. We are prone to getting cold, indifferent, and apathetic. I am. Maybe I shouldn't speak for everyone, but I think there's a tendency within all of us to get that way, to become cold, indifferent, and apathetic. And the songwriter pleads, let's praise God. Let's praise Him for the Son. Let's praise Him for the Spirit. Let's praise Him for His Word. Let's praise Him for redemption. But let's also plead with God that He would ever make that new to us and fresh to us and be like a fire burning within us. Our love of God can wax cold. Our desire to serve God must be renewed over and over again. This hymn pleads with God to rekindle our love, to rekindle our zeal. Sin, Satan, this world, and your flesh would douse your spiritual zeal with cold water. Sin, Satan, this world, and your flesh would douse the flames of zeal with ice water. It would extinguish these enemies of spiritual growth and desire for loving obedience. These things seek to extinguish the flames of passion that we have for God and for serving God. And the songwriter acknowledges this. It is a reality. It is the way life is. We get pulled in so many directions in life. We have so many things vying for our attention in life that we can lose sight of what's the most important. Lose sight of what is premier or primary, should be first in our lives. And so the songwriter here acknowledges this, and through verse, he asks God to rekindle or stoke the fire by His Holy Spirit. Now, I'm prone to getting cold and just simply going through the motions. And I need God to revive me again. And again. And again. And the interesting thing is, the psalmist in Psalms 85 knew the same thing. Psalms 85, verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us?" But he doesn't stop there. Again. It is the history of followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, of believers in God, that we must be revived again, given new life again, refreshed again, filled with the Spirit again. Someone asked the preacher one time, he said, "Are you filled with the Spirit?" He said, "Yes, but I leak." I think we all do. We need to be rekindled. We need to be renewed by the working of the Spirit of God. The psalmist here would agree with William Mackey, we need to be revived again. The greatest need the Memorial Heights has is that we have a greater passion and zeal for God and serving God. The greatest need our community has, the greatest need our country has, is a renewal, a reviving, a rekindling of the love of God. On the other end, I will say this. The songwriter died. If you have that, if you'll notice that. He died a young man. He died in his mid-40s. He was trying to board a ferry. He was trying to get on board a ferry boat. He fell, hit his head on the pier, bobbed up and down in the water. They were able to pull him out. He regained consciousness, but then he died just a few days later in a hotel. Yet here we are, 150 years later, singing the song that he wrote. Converted and convicted by a pawned Bible and a praying mother. William Mackey wrote these words, let me share them with you. Jesus did all the saving work. He brought the cross to our level. Get saved by looking to Him. That's not my favorite terminology, but nonetheless. Get saved by looking to Him. Lie down as wounded, helpless, ungodly sinner, and look away from yourself and look to Jesus. Maybe you're sort of like William Mackey, and though taught things of God, learned things of God, you've drifted from that and gotten into a life of sin. Well, it's not by luck or karma or chance that you're here today, but by providence. And you may not find a Bible that your mother had given you, but in the Word of God, you can find everlasting life through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I wish that once we became Christians, every day we were just on fire, but that's not how it is. We need to be revived and renewed again